Well, good morning. Let me just add my welcome to the ones you've received so far today. My name is Matt Conrad. I'm one of the pastors here. It's my privilege this morning to get to share from God's Word together. And so if you have a Bible, if you like to look at your Bible on your phone or your tablet, you can go ahead and open to Luke chapter 2. It's going to be a couple of minutes before we actually dive into our passage for this morning, but you can get there and get ready. But I'm really excited this morning that we get to continue this Advent sermon series that we've been in for a few weeks now that we're calling the Songs of Christmas. And I love the way Tim Keller is one of my favorite pastors and authors. I love the way he talks about Advent, and he writes that, what is Advent? Derived from the Latin word meaning coming or arrival, Advent begins on the fourth Sunday before Christmas. It's a season when we look back to Christ's first coming as a baby born in Bethlehem and look forward to his second coming when he will return to renew and redeem every part of fallen creation. Jesus Christ has come and will come again. The Advent season is therefore a time to reflect upon the promises of God and to anticipate the fulfillment of those promises. It's a time for remembering and rejoicing. And I love those two words, remembering and rejoicing. And that's really what this sermon series has been about. We've been using these familiar, hopefully, carols to remember and rejoice about who Jesus is and what it means that he has entered into our world. And we're going to continue that this morning by focusing on one of my favorite Christmas songs, which is the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And it has this refrain that we repeat over and over in the song, go, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And I love the energy that's typically associated with song. And let me just tell you, just wait until we get to the end of the service when Elliot and the team lead us in the singing of this song. I've been through it once, and you know, there may even have been a little bit of dancing in the front pew. I don't know, but it was it's going to be worth it. So stick around till the end. But this song always brings great joy and energy and celebration. And at the heart of this Christmas carol is this need for proclamation. It's this need to not only celebrate, but to tell about the wonders of who Jesus is. It reminds us of this story. The story of Jesus' birth is one that we should not only experience and encounter individually, but it's a message that we need to share with others. A message tied to the Great Commission of Jesus at the very end of his life and time on earth, when he says to his followers, go, make disciples. And so this morning, we're going to be thinking about what it means to proclaim this message. And I want to start our time together with a story that will maybe help us think about some of these things. We've just completed one of our Alpha courses, and Alpha is one of the places where we do this. We talk a lot about Jesus. We proclaim who he is. And so I'm going to invite Kira to come, and she's going to join me up here, and we're just going to ask her to tell us a little bit about her experience in our most recent Alpha class. So, Kira, thanks for joining us. Thanks for doing this again with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me, too.
Of course. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of what was happening in your life before you started attending Alpha?
Yeah, so I just recently actually moved to the Pacific Northwest. Just in July, I moved to Seattle for a new job. And that's probably relatable for a lot of you. Like, raise your hand if you moved to the Pacific Northwest for a new job.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yes. We got some. You too.
Definitely me, yep.
So this isn't the easiest area to fit in and make friends. The Seattle freeze is pretty real. And so I was feeling kind of lonely, kind of nervous. I wanted to fit in out here and make new friends, but I wasn't really sure how that was going to happen. But luckily, I happened to meet someone, and they invited me to this thing called Alpha.
Cool. And tell us a little bit about your experience at Alpha.
Yeah. So basically, Alpha is a free dinner where you can come and have a conversation and ask questions about Christianity. And there's no barriers at this conversation. You don't have to hold anything back. You can just be open and upfront with what you're going through. And this piqued my interest for two reasons. Number one, anywhere with free food, that's interesting to me. I'm going to go. Number two, I grew up in a Christian background, but my church was never really open to exploring your struggles, and it felt like I could never be open and vulnerable and gain support when I was struggling with my faith. I felt like I had to keep it up at all times. And this Alpha program presents you with an opportunity where you can come with any doubts you have in your faith, anything you're struggling through, and talk to other Christians about it. And if you know anyone that maybe is looking to get into their faith, or maybe if you yourself are struggling with your faith, Alpha is a great place to come and talk some of those issues out and gain support.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about what happened kind of during the course, and even, I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks, but what impact would you say Alpha's had on your life?
Yeah, Alpha is, it's a lot of weeks, and I went to the first Alpha, and that turned into two, and turned into three, and then over the course of the whole program, I actually made very close friends with all the people at my table, and for the first time, I was able to feel what it's like to have a Christian community. And that was a great and rewarding experience to be able to share with others and give back to the people that were on my table.
Awesome. Yeah. Anything else you'd want to tell us about your experience?
It overall just taught me that there doesn't have to be such a big separation between you and God. You can come wherever you're at in your faith. You don't have to be perfect. It's okay if you're struggling. God wants to hear you. You can talk directly to him. It's okay to ask God directly for help.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Would you just let Kira know what a great job she did and how thankful we are that she's a part of our church family and community here. I just love her story. I love so many stories like her, and I hope you'll be thinking about the things that she shared and about her experience, because I think she illustrates so much what's at the heart of what it means for us to share the message of Jesus. And so I do want us to jump into our passage of scripture this morning. It's in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to invite you to stand. We typically stand as a congregation when we read from God's word, just to remind us of how special this book is, that it does contain the very words of God. And so you can just listen, follow along as I read our scripture for this morning. Luke 2, starting verse 8, says that in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." You may be seated. This morning, I want us to think about this passage, and I want to reflect specifically on a couple of verses in the middle of it where we see the message that the angel delivered to the shepherds. And I think as we look at this message, I hope that it'll help us as we think about how we share the message of Jesus with others. And what we're told first is that it's a message of good news and great joy. Now, last week, Ryan's whole message was focused on joy, so I'm not going to say a lot about that this week. But I would encourage you, if you've missed any of the messages in this series, I'd encourage you to go online this week and listen to them, because each one has been so unique and helpful and powerful. But I do want to focus on this little phrase, good news. I don't know about you, but I find myself constantly in this day and age in need of good news. Now, I will say that I am not the most informed person. I have to probably confess that a little bit. I don't like to watch the news. I don't read a lot of the news. Most of the news I get comes from Facebook, and oftentimes I'm guilty of only reading the headlines of stories on Facebook. I shared that with our staff a couple weeks ago, and Mark Pedron said to me that I was part of the problem, which may very well be true. But the news is so depressing. The news is so overwhelming. It's so sad. Our world is just broken. It has such deep needs. Just listen to some of the headlines that have been out there in the last just even few weeks. Last week, the U.S. Surgeon General issued an advisory warning of a massive mental health crisis amongst young people, including an increase in suicidal ideation, depression, and anxiety. Barna recently reported that 31% of Americans report feeling lonely at least once each day. There is frustration, there's anger, there's fear, there's division everywhere we turn. And it's not just news out there in the culture. For some of us, the hard news is living right inside of us. We have broken relationships. We go through crises with our health or our jobs. Many of us are going through grieving seasons because we've lost loved ones. We are a people who are in desperate need of good news. And that's why it's so important at Christmas to recognize the fact that Jesus is not only good news, he's the best news. Jesus has come into our world, and that changes everything. The song says that down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. This reminds us that God is not distant or removed or far off from us. He is very real and very present and actively engaged in our lives, in our situations and circumstances. In Matthew 1:23, the angel appears to Joseph and he begins to talk about what's going to take place. And he tells them that, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is near. Well, after almost 2 years and dealing with the pandemic, the Conrad family finally returned to a Disney park. Yeah, right? Yeah, thank you, right? If you don't know, the Disney parks are my favorite place on the planet. And so it has been a long wait. But we finally, a couple weeks ago, were able to go to Disney World in Florida. We had an absolutely amazing time. I brought a picture because I need to, you know, bring a picture. And there we are, right? Looking good. That was on our very last night after almost 95 hours in the Disney parks over 8 days. Three of us were having a real difficult time with the fact our time was coming to an end. One of us wanted to go home a few days early. I won't tell you who's who, but I had the time of my life. And it was so good to be back and to experience something that was familiar. And so much of it was as it had always been, but there were a few key things that were still different because of the pandemic. There were some shows and some entertainment that wasn't taking place. But one of the most notable things that had changed was the access you had to Disney characters. Now, we've spent years going to Disney parks, and so all throughout my kids' life, we have pictures of them with Disney characters like Mickey Mouse and Winnie the Pooh and the princesses and Buzz Lightyear and all these people with, you know, their arms wrapped around them and embraced in hugs. But character encounters are one of the things that's changed. And so I brought another picture, and we'll put that up there. That's my beautiful daughter, Sadie. And she's there, and I don't know if you can see, but if you look up over her shoulder in front of that little house there, there's a little kind of blue dot in the shadow. That's the Princess Belle, and that's as close as we could get, right? So what once was so comfortable and so close and intimate, all of a sudden there's a separation. And I think for many of us, we go through seasons in our life where it feels like God is like that. He is no longer as close as he once was. He's more far off. But the good news of Christmas is that Jesus entered our lives. He entered our world. He understands. And he came to bring healing and hope. God came near. This is a message of good news. And that word that's translated good news here throughout the New Testament is often translated as gospel, which reminds us that this message, this good news, is something that we need to share. And when we understand it as good news, I think that helps us with our motivation. Again, from Timothy Keller, he says that in the end, what we most need to be public about our faith is not more training, although that is highly recommended, but proper motivation arising from a grasp of the gospel, that we are sinners saved by grace. The problem is ultimately in our hearts, not in our lack of training or knowing how to answer all the questions. It's good news. When we see it as good news, that helps us think about what it truly means to share that message with others. Second, not only do we see in this passage that this is a message of good news, we also see that it's a message for all people. It's for all people. I think it's always noteworthy to consider the group of people that first heard the announcement of Jesus' birth. Again, from the song, it says, "While the shepherds kept their watching their silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heaven there shone a holy light." William Barclay says that it's a wonderful thing that the story should tell that the first announcement of God came to some shepherds. Shepherds were despised by the Orthodox good people of the day. They were quite unable to keep the details of the ceremonial law. They could not observe all the meticulous hand washings and rules and regulations. Their flocks made constant demands on them, and so the unorthodox looked down on them. It was to simple men of the field that God's message first came. And I think this is important and it's significant because it reminds us that Jesus came for everyone. He didn't come just to the righteous or the religious. He didn't just come for the well-known or the well-off, or he didn't come for just one culture or group. He came for everyone. This actually fulfilled a promise many, many years in the making. When God called Abraham and he started the people of Israel, he did so with many promises, including this one from Genesis 12. It says that now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred in your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." It was always God's plan to bring blessing, not just to one group of people, but to everyone. And that blessing would come in the form of Jesus. And that blessing continues to be available to each and everyone today. So this means that Jesus came for you. Just let that sink in. He came for you. And not only did he come for you, but he came for the members of your family. And he came for the people who live in your neighborhoods. He came for the people that you work with and go to school with. And it means he even came for the people who are hard to love, maybe whose values don't line up with yours. But he came for all of us. And his message, the salvation that he offers, the things that he wants to do and accomplish, they are available to everyone. All means all. So it's a message of good news and great joy. It's a message that's available to anyone and everyone. And then third, it's a message about a person. And that person is Jesus. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Three really important titles are used to describe Jesus in that verse. It says first that he is Savior. This promises that he will deliver his people. It's what we see again in Matthew 1:21, where the angel speaking to Joseph, he says that she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came to bring salvation. Second, we're told that he's the Christ. This means he's the promised Messiah. He's the one that the people had been longing for, praying for, expecting, eagerly anticipating. Jesus fulfilled all of that. And third, we're told that he is Lord. Well, just a newborn baby at this moment, he would grow into an incredible man who would reveal power and authority unlike anybody else. He is Savior, he is Christ, he is Lord. These three titles reveal his greatness and uniqueness. And in many ways, they point to the wonder of the incarnation, the fact that God could dwell in human flesh. I love the way the Gospel of John introduces us to Jesus. In John 1:1, it says that in the beginning, talking about Jesus, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And skipping ahead to verse 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was man and God at the same time. This amazing, amazing thing that points to just the remarkable wonder and majesty of who he is. And I think as we think about these titles and their relevance for us, it's important to be reminded that Christmas was just the start of Jesus' story. So often this time of year, it's so easy to get caught up into this being all of the story. But the reason we celebrate his birth is because of what his life accomplished. So as we celebrate Jesus entering our world as Savior, Messiah, Lord, we need to be reminded of the life that he would go on to lead, how it was perfect, without fault, how he drew people to himself and he taught people about who God is and what it really meant to follow him, how he showed care and compassion, grace and love, and how ultimately that led him to a cross where he would offer his life to bring about that salvation. But then 3 days later, he would rise again to guarantee that none of us have to fear death. We celebrate his life. But in celebrating his life on earth, that too is only part of the story. Because we're reminded over and over and over again that Jesus is going to come again. And again, Ryan did such a good job of illustrating this last week and drawing our attention to this. But when we think about Jesus, when we think about who he is, we have to remember all that he is. And when we think about sharing his message, we need to be reminded that we are sharing about him. We are telling people about Jesus. And we should be comforted by the fact that people are drawn to Jesus. When you think about his life, it was the people who were most irreligious who wanted to be around him the most. And so when we talk about him, we shouldn't be surprised that there's curiosity and interest in him. So we've seen that it's a message of good news and great joy. It's a message that's for all people. It's a message about Jesus, the power and wonder and uniqueness of who he is. And then finally, it's a message that requires a response. Ryan looked at the next part of this story, what happens to the shepherds after the angels leave just a couple of weeks ago. But I want to highlight just a couple of things that happen, because we see in them a couple of responses. We see in verse 16 that it says that they went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. They not only heard and received this message, it prompted them to action. And so they go and they do something. I love the way Anne Vascamp talks about Christmas. I can't say her name, but I do like what she writes. She says, you only really believe in Christmas when you really live it. When you light a dark world and the unexpected places with a brave flame of joy, when you warm the cold, hopeless places with the daring joy that God is with us, God is for us, God is in us, when you are awake to light hope in the dark, then you believe in Christmas. When you really believe in Christmas, you believe there is really hope for everyone. Our celebration of Christmas should prompt some response for us. Two of them that I see in this passage, two of them that I want to talk about real quickly. The first is worship. In Luke 2:20, it says that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. When they receive that message of Jesus, when they go and see him for themselves, they are led to worship, to celebrate, to offer thanksgiving and praise. Worship is always the right response. So can I encourage you this week? I know many of us, our schedules are full. We've got lots going on as we think about celebrating Christmas. But I know for some of us, Christmas is a difficult season, and we'll be happy when we get it over with. But regardless of how we see Christmas, however we experience it, can you find a few minutes this week just to let the story of Jesus just overwhelm you? And can you respond in worship? It could be through song, it could be through prayer. It could just be sitting still and taking it all in. I know for me, I've had some great Christmases. I've had times in my life where Christmas has been a challenge. But my favorite time of the season is always on Christmas Eve. It's always in a church service. It's always when we light a candle and we sing Silent Night. I know for some that may be hokey, that may not be your thing, but for me, that's the moment when it all feels real. It's when I'm reminded of just how significant and how powerful and how precious the gift of Jesus is. It could be something completely different for you, but find a few minutes this week and respond to God's message in worship. And then the second thing we see is that they proclaim. They tell others. In Luke 2:17, it says that when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. The angels gave them a message, and then they shared that message with others. Now, I know for many of us, sharing of our faith can be something we struggle with. It can be something that's really challenging, overwhelming. It creates fear, anxiety, insecurity, insignificance, all kinds of things. But I want us to think this morning about a few different ways that we can share the message of Jesus. Now, some of the ways are good, are better than others. You know, I'm reminded of a time when I was in high school. I'd only been driving for a year or two. I pulled up to a car at a red light, There's a car in front of me. On the back of that car was a bumper sticker that said, "Honk if you love Jesus." Yeah, you know where this is going, right? Yeah, you know, I only have to get to the punchline, right? I read this, I thought, "I love Jesus." So I honked. And then I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? I really love Jesus. So I honked a bunch. Now, the middle-aged me knows that was maybe a little bit annoying and obnoxious. But the teenager in me just thought I was expressing, you know, my faith. Well, the driver of that vehicle either had borrowed the car or forgotten what was on the back of their car, because they turned and they gave me the middle finger. So I would say bumper stickers may or may not be the best way to share our faith. And honking obsessively is definitely not the best way. But let me offer you a couple ways that we can think about that. The first is through our lives and our actions. One of the most powerful demonstrations of the fact that we are people of Jesus is how we live our lives. That we show people his love. That we offer compassion and care and concern. That we are people that offer kindness and warmth, hospitality. People who respond when there's crisis or need that we encounter. We can share Jesus through our lives, our actions. We also need to do this sometimes through our words. Sometimes we do have to tell people about who Jesus is. And I think one of the best ways to do that is what we saw this morning, when we simply tell about what Jesus has done in our lives. That we're willing to engage those conversations and create safe spaces where people can ask their questions and they can struggle. But we do it through our words. And then third, oftentimes one of the best ways is through invitation. Through inviting people to come and be a part of something. All throughout the Gospels, whether it was Jesus himself or some of his followers, there's a phrase that comes up a few times where people just say, "Come and see." There's an invitation. Take a look for yourself. Come and see. Come and find out. Let's go together and let's see what God might do. I was having lunch a few months ago with a member of our church, and after lunch, they wanted to show me their house, where they lived. And so we went over to their house, and we were driving through the neighborhood. And as we were leaving and coming back to church, he was just pointing out some of the different houses and the people who lived there and the relationship he had built. And we got to one house, and he said, we have some new neighbors there. He goes, "I need to get to know them better because I want to tell them about Westminster and all the amazing things we do as a church." And I thought, yeah, that's what it should be like. We should all be investing in these relationships where we can simply invite people to come and be a part of something. And so we have a lot of opportunities coming up. We have services on Friday night. There would be a great opportunity on Christmas Eve to invite someone to come and see. People are uniquely open at this time of year and curious about what we celebrate and why this is important. And so maybe there's someone from work or from your neighborhood or from school, and you can say, come with me. Let's check this out together. We're going to be starting Alpha again in January. We're going to be launching into a new Grow Group sign-up season in January. There are all kinds of opportunities for us to come and see together. We're going to conclude our time this morning by taking communion together. This is something we, as the church, do on a regular basis, just to remind us of this message that we've been talking about. And we focus a lot on the significance of the bread and the cup, and we're going to do that this morning. But after we talk about the bread and the cup, there's this part that usually or maybe sometimes gets lost or left out or overlooked that says that when we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. When we tell this story, it ought to lead to proclamation. One real quick story, one more story from Disneyland before we wrap up this morning. It was our last night. Again, some of us were sad to be thinking about going home. We got on the bus that was going to take us back to our hotel. The bus was packed with people because the parks had just closed. People were sitting, people were standing. There were just people everywhere. It had been a long day. People were tired. And so the bus was pretty crowded. Until about halfway back to our hotel, this little girl who was probably about 3 or 3.5 years old, she starts singing. And she starts singing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And she finished. And then she started singing it again. And again. And again. And I had a couple of thoughts in this moment. My first thought was, wow, I'm sure glad my kids never did anything like this. And the reason for that is because I could feel the tension. I could feel the anxiety of her mom and her grandmother and others who were with her, you know, trying to get her to be a little quieter and tell her maybe she could sing a different song or not sing at all. And then my second thought was, what happens to us? Why is it so much harder as we get older to proclaim and celebrate who Jesus is? Why can this 3-year-old girl tell the whole bus that she stands on the Word of God and a 50-year-old pastor is feeling anxious and nervous about it? And so let me invite, encourage all of us this morning as we approach Christmas, as we think about sharing the message of Jesus. Can we do so with a childlike faith? Can we do so with childlike wonder and amazement and belief and boldness? And then can we see what God will do? And maybe there's someone here today, and while we're talking about how we share this with others, you need someone to invite you to come and see. And so let me be the one to invite you. If you are still trying to figure out who Jesus is or what he's all about, will you come and see? Will you be open to his message? Would you invite him to just reveal himself to you? And will you step out in faith and boldness and trust and expectation? Let's pray and then we'll take communion together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we get to be together as your people. Thank you for the wonder of Christmas and the incredible message of you sending your son. God, I pray that whether this is a difficult season or a joy-filled season, that we would find moments to worship you, give you thanks. And God, that you would fill us with a desire to take this message that has transformed our lives and to share it with others. We love you so, so very much. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.